Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Sally Baptist, and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place where it's all about being united as Americans, the place where it's all about getting back to our Constitution. Today is Monday, March 11, 2013, and tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit more about the Stand with Rand movement that seems to be happening out there, a little bit about the Bill of Rights and about the Constitution, how this situation impacts the GOP. Glenn Beck is out there saying this is the beginning of the end of the GOP, and it's going to be kind of like the Whig Party thing. And want to talk a little bit about filibusters, but I was going to do a little bit more history on that, and we may talk more about that on Thursday. And then the other was the crime against Kansas, which was the fight on the Senate floor a few years back. So we'll talk about some things like that, and then whatever else is on your mind. And the other is just a reminder to people to continue to call AAA and let them know that that they have abandoned their members at the toll booth. I did put information out there in the AAA blog. There's a section called Letters to the Editor. You can put information out there. You can put questions out there or whatever. And I've got several items out there, and they have been getting quite popular. So I do know that people are reading that, and AAA is going to be getting the word one way or another. So we got to keep moving on that. AAA should be out there opposing the toll roads, supporting their members and opposing the toll roads instead of promoting it and being partners with the state. So please continue to get with AAA and tell others. Just tell them to make a call to AAA National. And I should have that number memorized by now, but I'll get that number to you. And call AAA National, go to their advocacy group, and say that you want to know why they're not supporting their members. Why has AAA abandoned the members at the toll booth? Because that's what they have done. So please take some action and get involved. There's a lot to the toll road situation. I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but we need for everybody to go out there and oppose it. Excuse me. And also, as you can maybe hear something in my voice, I think I'm getting a cold, but I'm not quite there yet. Let's hope I didn't get that stuff everybody else has been having. The thing with the Stand with Rand, I think it's really interesting. You know, we talked about this last Thursday. He did the filibuster that he did, 13-hour filibuster that he did last Wednesday, and all the discussion that was going on Thursday about it, and the discussion continues. And I was saying it last Thursday, so I thought it was kind of interesting when Glenn Beck was talking more and more today about the fact that this is the beginning of some type of a real movement, similar to, I mean, beyond what the Tea Party, taking it to the next level, I guess, but similar to what happened in the past when the Republican Party first took over the Whig Party. The Republican Party is no longer any different than any the other liberal progressive party. And when you have people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain out there trashing Rand Paul for going out there and just talking about the Constitution and ask them a question because what they were saying was unconstitutional, then the Republican Party has lost its way. The establishment GOP is hopeless. They truly are hopeless. So unless we can get some new people in there, a new attitude towards the GOP, Republican Party, it is hopeless. And it's going to either have to have a major facelift and restructuring, or it's over. It's going to be replaced by another party. And personally, I think that's what will happen. I've been saying it for a couple of years. The GOP has lost its way. And truthfully, the Democrats, too. And this new third party will probably bring a lot of Democrats over, too, those who genuinely believe in the rights of people. Because believing in liberty, personal rights, is very much a Democrat and a Republican thing. The Republican smaller government. But at one point, you know, Democrats were really pro-rights, pro the right to smoke pot, pro whatever. Do Democrats really think it's a place of Bloomberg to tell them what size drink they can have, what size soft drink they can have. I mean, that's not the Democrats either. So hopefully what's going to happen with the Rand Paul filibuster, it's going to truly ignite a different type of movement, which really was the basis of what the Tea Party started out to be. The Tea Party was a movement to get back to smaller government, to get back to the Constitution, to stop all this crazy spending and taking all the money from the people until the Republican Party got in and hosed it up. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I thought it was very interesting that Glenn Beck was having quite a discussion about it today and talking about what it really means and how, I guess it was John McCain, I believe he said John McCain was calling Rand Paul and Teddy Cruz and the Tea Partiers who were standing with, and the Democrats who were standing with Rand Paul, that they were a bunch of wacko birds. Wacko birds, something stupid like that. I mean, this is what John McCain has come to. It's really disappointing because at one point in time, I really had a lot of respect and admiration for John McCain, but not anymore. He is so far off the cliff on what he thinks. He's gone from one side to the other. He truly is just a liberal progressive anymore. And I will be sending some kind of a message via the website or whatever, calling his office and letting him know that I strongly disagree with what he has done with the Rand Paul situation and that what he has done with the Republican Party. And that it's time for him to retire. It's time for Lindsey Graham to retire. Glenn Beck wasn't talking about it, but somebody else was talking about that Lindsey Graham is going to face a very big challenge next time, and I guess he's up for re-election for the Senate in 2014, if I heard it correctly. And they're saying that he's going to be really he's going to have opposition this time. He's not going to be able to just slide by. You know, because that's what happens in the past. These people get into office, and then you can't dethrone them. But right now, there's definitely a movement to get rid of the establishment, the D.C. establishment, and get people who genuinely believe in the Constitution and believe in personal rights and liberties and things like that. And that's not Lindsey Graham. I mean, they were both so insulting to Rand Paul on the floor of the Senate. It just shows how... One, they definitely don't believe in Reagan's rule. And two, they're how liberal progressive they have become when they trash anybody who promotes the Constitution. What does that say for those two guys and the others who are saying similar things? So I think it was just an interesting, whole interesting thing. And if there's anything particular that you want to talk about tonight, let me know. excuse me. And... like I say, maybe on Thursday, get into a little bit more details of the filibuster. I was starting to kind of look it up, but I really haven't done what I would call my research on it to talk about the history of it. I mean, I found out that the filibuster comes from the Dutch word of pirate. And, you know, the basics that we all know is it's a way to extend debate. It's a way to block votes. It's a way to annoy the Senate if they're trying to pass something and you keep talking and you won't let it stop. Kind of thing, but at the same time, it can be used very effectively to force the issues. And in this case, I'm hoping, as Glenn Beck suggested earlier, I'm hoping that this filibuster made people aware of what's really going on. For 13 hours, for him to focus so much on the Constitution, on this one issue of the Constitution, and to just make people think about what's really happening. So I truly hope that we start seeing some other filibusters come up where they take key elements, the NDAA, which is very much in line with this thing with the drones, where it says the government has the right to detain American citizens without cause and to detain them indefinitely and things like that, NDAA. And you've got people like Paul Ryan who voted for it. Explain that to me. Explain to me why a Paul Ryan would vote for NDAA that gives the president the right to detain Americans without cause indefinitely. It's just so anti-American. Paul Ryan isn't quite the same establishment mentality that John McCain is, or Lindsey Graham, but he's getting there. And I guess I should say, in all fairness, to say that Marco Rubio was on the floor supporting Rand Paul as well. So I will give him compliments and kudos for doing that. As most of you know, I'm not what you call a Marco Rubio fan. But he did do that. And I think in that respect, too, that's telling, because deep down, based on what I have seen of Marco Rubio here in the state of Florida, he's much more liberal progressive than he is Tea Party. But he had a Tea Party face, and he said what he had to say to get elected. So I found that kind of interesting, too, that he was out there. And I kind of think he felt like he had to be there. Does it mean is he truly genuine in what he said? I don't know. I can't tell. Did he feel like he needed to be there because Rand Paul is setting himself up for his presidential candidacy? And so if Rubio is up, I think he's going to be, even though he's not eligible. But there's still those people who insist on talking about it. Did he feel like he needed to be there for that? Did he feel like he needed to prove he was about the Constitution like the Tea Partiers? Is that why Marco Rubio was there, or did he genuinely believe and support what Rand Paul was doing? I don't know. I can only tell you based on what I have seen Marco Rubio do here in the state of Florida as the Speaker of the House, the Florida House, I can only tell you what I have seen him do. So I am not inclined to believe it. It kind of goes along with the idea, well, did the president really invite the Republicans over because he really wanted to talk to them and extend, you know, a hand and start communicating and working with them kind of thing? Is that what the White House occupier was trying to do last Thursday? Or was he just playing the facade? Yeah, see, I'm going to show. Yeah, they're saying that I should be working with the GOP more, so I'm going to do that, and here's how I'm going to pretend to do it. And that's all it was the facade. And, I mean, you tell me, do you believe the White House occupier was genuine in what he was saying? Do you believe he was genuine in reaching out to the other side to come up with solutions about the sequester and the cuts and this and that? Which, to me, I don't see. It's not a matter of how much money they're cutting. It's going to be a matter of how reckless they are with cutting it. There's so many things they can cut, and it's Senator Coburn who always talks about all the different ways. I think he said there's like $200 billion with a B, redundant duplicate programs out there that could be cut in 1 year if we had a government that focused on doing the right thing for the people. That could be cut in 1 year. And when you go and say such a statement as that, there's two impacts to it. Obviously, there's a lot of cost savings. The revenues are not needed. But there will also be an influx of people put into the job market, because how many people is that? How many government workers are somehow tied into that $200 billion somehow, some way? So there would be some of that, but the fact that the money would be going back out to the private sector, I think you would have more growth out there too, which would be really nice to have growth in the private sector and not in the government jobs. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And let's see, what else? The other thing too was in reference to the White House occupier extending that. Then he had his meeting with Paul Ryan. Again, was it genuine, or was he just pretending to extend an arm, extend a hand out to communicate, to work with the other side? We're going to see what's going to happen to it. We're definitely going to see how it all plays out. So we'll all good things in time, and we'll find out what's going on. Yesterday, last night on Fox News, John Stossel was doing a special. It was something about the stupidity of how they use money. I don't remember the exact name of the show, the special, but he went in and he was talking about what they're doing with transportation. And Charlie is not on right now, but he would love to hear this, and maybe he saw it. because Charlie and I have been in the transportation arena fighting for the transportation issues for a while, and why they keep pushing bullet trains and high-speed trains, which do nothing. They're empty. Even the ones they claim are so, well, the Amtrak is packed. Well, John Stossel gets on it, and it's less than a third full. Or if they report a third. And so it's so these trains to nowhere, wasting billions and billions of dollars. And look who's at the head, Republicans, like John Micah. I was kind of annoyed, and I really do need to send an email to Britta, because once again, she, I guess this was Friday evening, she had Congressman John Micah, Rhino Micah, out there. And, you know, Micah's out there, they're like he's some wonderful thing, because he's going out there trying to do something about all the empty buildings. Well, why didn't he do that for the past 20 years? Because this is what he started up with GSA and their trip to Las Vegas. All of a sudden, Micah was going to be the hero. And but Greta never asks him about the billions he wastes on TSA, his TSA boondoggle, and also all these high-speed trains and this other nonsense billions of dollars that John Micah wastes. She totally ignores that, and I get really disappointed. So I do need to send her an email, and if you're online, get a chance, send Greta an email. Say, why don't you ever ask John Micah the tough questions? Why don't you ask John Micah about $13 million earmarked money that went to his daughter's company? Why don't you ask John Micah how many billions of dollars he has wasted on rail transit projects? Ask him about CSX here in Florida, the SunRail scam rail right here in Central Florida. So, you know, and for the most part, Greta tends to ask the tough questions, but when it comes to Micah, she doesn't want to say anything to hurt his feelings, I guess. I don't know. So it gets kind of frustrating listening to that. Let's see. What else has been going on today? I haven't watched any news today to speak of. We know there was a thing about the International Women's Award, whatever it was, and the White House occupier was going to give it to this lady who's about as anti-American as you can get. And I guess they probably would have had not been some people out there actually realized who this lady was and how she was celebrating 9/11 and hoping we could celebrate 9/11 like that with Americans burning or something. I mean, it was just despicable. And they were going to give this lady some kind of an award. How sick is that? How sick is that? And let's see, what else is going on? I'm telling you, today's kind of a slow day. And the truth is, I've been so busy today, I haven't had much time to put much together. But the biggie, again, is the Stand With Rand, Bill of Rights. I did put information about the Bill of Rights. And to think that, to believe in the Bill of Rights means you're a wacko bird, wacko birds, to believe in the Bill of Rights and to believe in the Constitution. I sure hope people listening will go out there and contact John Micah and Lindsey Graham and let them know that the Constitution is actually a good thing. They should try reading it, and they should try embracing it. If they don't believe in that Constitution, why are they there? Because they took an oath to uphold it, but they don't seem to want to do that. So what is the deal with these people? And more importantly is they are the GOP establishment, and they need to go. They need to be out of there. They don't support what being an American is. They're both pro amnesty, the nonsense with, and it just irks me to no end when it comes to the immigration issue that it's all a game. It's all part of politics. It's nothing to do with what's right. It's nothing to do with being an American. Nothing to do with embracing what this country is about. It's all games of politics. And I am hoping that with what's happening with Rand Paul and what's happening with this nuttiness on the other side of the GOP, that somewhere in there, we start embracing being Americans again. If you don't want being an American, then go someplace else. Get rid of this dual nationality. Are you loyal to America or are you loyal to your other country? Go back to your home country if that's where your loyalty is. Excuse me. Go back to your home country. You do not have to stay in America if you don't believe in America. No one's forcing you to be American. Go back to your home country, wherever that may be. which, speaking of other countries, Chavez routine. Can you believe a group of congressional representatives have no idea what party, who they are, anything else, but there is a group of U.S. representatives going to somehow honor Chavez, the Venezuelan dictator who just died. And I think there's so much to look and explain and try to understand of what's happened with that country. Because these people act like he was the savior of the poor person, yet he turned them into serfs, into sheeple, into slaves. And he took all the wealth for himself. So why would any kind of liberal progressive support that? Why would Americans think that's a good, people who supposedly believe in freedom and liberty, why would you think that guy was good? Was something to honor and treat as some savior? It's beyond me to understand how Americans, and I'm talking Americans who believe in the Constitution, Americans who believe in freedom, could say that. Or has America been taken over that much by the liberal progressives that it really has gone that deep? And we've been taken over in so many ways by antis. Are we really invaded that much by the antis who actually think a dictator like Chavez is a good thing? I don't get it. I do not get it. Let's see. Tonight is a very quiet night. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was in the beginning as I was planning today's show, because I hadn't had much time to plan anything, I was thinking I was going to make this a short show, but I may do that anyway because it looks like it's a quiet night out there. And the fact is I've got some things I need to take care of, so I may make this a short show tonight. But if you have anything you want to talk about, want to talk about the Constitution, want to talk about the Bill of Rights, please feel free to. I'll go down that list. It's just the basics, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, press, religion, and petition, and the right to petition. And, freedom of speech, look how much they've done to squash that. How they put you into a free zone or whatever they call it when you have an event going on and anybody who's going to protest has to go sit in the corner. The people who are protesting whatever's going on aren't allowed to protest. I mean, another anti-American thing, taking away our most basic rights to protest the actions of this government. And I've been the victim of it too, by being at different protest rallies, sign wavings and things like that. And the nerve of them to say, well, if you're going to protest, you're going to go stand over in the corner where nobody can see you. It's despicable. And then, of course, the press. When was the day that America died? Well, it died with the freedom of the press. Excuse me. When Woodrow Wilson went out there and made the press part of the White House establishment. When the press is now the insider to the White House and no longer a watchdog of the White House. So now the press has been brainwashed, or whatever you want to call it, manipulated. Maybe manipulated is a better way to put it. Manipulated to deliver the message that the establishment wants you to hear, not the truth. Which, again, is why the filibuster was so important. Rand Paul was out there telling everybody what was going on, regardless of what was being said by the media, mainstream media that doesn't want to tell you the truth. So, freedom of the press, what is that? Amendment 1, excuse me. Freedom of religion, another interesting thing to think about, how we've been destroying freedom of religion. You know, we're allowed to teach Islam in a school, but you're not allowed to teach Christianity. You're not allowed to have prayer in public schools, but you're allowed to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Mexican flag. That was something that I was just hearing about recently, where a girl was suspended or in trouble at school because she would not say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Mexican flag in America. Hey, I think it was great that she did it. She had the right to not go and go against her country, to not honor another country, which happens to be a very corrupt country that abuses and exploits its own people. Mexico isn't what you'd call the best when it comes to what they do to their own people. Mexico could be a thriving country with all the resources and everything they have if they were not so corrupt. But how do they get to be that way? Well, we keep propping them up. We keep helping them with the various things, their drug lords and all this other mess. We don't do anything to properly stop it. So it was just, it's another piece of it. But freedom of religion, going back to the freedom of religion aspect, what happened to freedom of religion? Why is it Christianity is not allowed in this country anymore? You can't say anything about Christianity or you're condemned. You can talk about anything else. You can be an atheist, that's okay. Which, hey, freedom of religion, you have the right. You can be a Muslim who hates America. That's okay. Let's talk about that. I talked about this, I think, a little on Thursday's show. The nerve of them to be teaching, this is the C-Scope there in Texas, the nerve of them to be teaching the Boston Tea Party was about terrorists. Were terrorists attacking the country? That's so not true. And while they're acting like the 9/11 stuff were freedom fighters, that's so despicable. And that's what's happening. So when you talk about freedom of speech, freedom of the press, religion, and the right to petition, those have been chopped up really bad, people. Yes, I'm here talking right now. Who knows? Hopefully no drone's going to come over and blast me. But, you know, when you go out there to protest, when you attempt to protest what's happening directly with your government, they block you every which way they can. And I can tell so many stories of how that happens. Stories when you reach out to a government office, a government entity, an elected public servant, whether that be a state representative, a state senator, your U.S. representative, U.S. senator, the president, you know, all these various people that are in there, and they do not want to deal with you. They think once they've landed that job, they slam the door and they do whatever they feel like. So your right to petition, the First Amendment has been trashed, and of course it was trashed by the Patriot Act as well. Not only the Patriot Act trashed a few amendments. So Amendment 1 is very much, it's been scaled down beyond belief, and we need to restore it. So I am really hoping that there'll be another filibuster about some issue that's coming up that's going to talk about internet email. Do they have the right to go out there and monitor your email? Do they have the right to limit information you can see? Do they have the right to control censor books, which is really what C-Scope is doing in Texas. So see what else happens there. Of course, the Second Amendment, we've been doing a lot of talk about that lately, the right to bear arms and the nerve. And, you know, when you just think of everything together, the various things happening on the global arena where we've got this tension out there, anti-Americans, and a government who wants to disarm its people. What does it mean when the American government wants to disarm its people? Because that's what they're trying to do. What did Hitler say? The best way to take over a country or take over a people is to disarm them. Do not allow them to defend themselves. The other is do not allow them to educate themselves. So you take away, you censor information, and you take away the right to bear arms, disarm people, and you are taking over the country. You are being converted into a communistic society, whether you like it or not. And if you refuse to admit that fact, you're drinking Kool-Aid, get your head out of the sand, whatever. Or, I mean, if you believe in communism, pick another country. You know, if you happen to believe you have the right to believe in communism, we have the Communist Party here in the United States. But truly, if you truly believe in communism, why don't you go to a communistic society? Why do you think you should change the free society of the United States of America when the majority of us want freedom? Why do you think that is your role? And then the Third Amendment, conditions for quarters of soldiers, don't hear a whole lot of talk about that. It's definitely not the one we hear the most concerns with. Amendment 4 is the next biggie that we hear a lot about. A right to search and seizure, right to be secure in your property, right to be secure in your papers. Well, the government does not have the right to just come in and take over your house, to go through your house, search your house, all these things without just probable cause. And look what's happening to that. The Patriot Act was big on that one. Patriot Act all but trashed the Fourth Amendment. And then, little by little, they keep talking about all these things where they've given the, the FBI or the Office of Law Enforcement has the right to write their own warrants to search. So if somebody in law enforcement wants to search your property, your home, your office, whatever, they don't have to go to a judge and prove probable cause. They just go write their own search warrant, and then they go in. How crazy is that? How much does that destroy the Fourth Amendment? So, again, you think about what's happening to these amendments, and you think about this filibuster that was focusing on the Constitution. I really, really hope we have more people focusing on the filibuster and doing it, challenging these different bills. And it's not necessarily to block a vote, even though that's obviously part of the intention of the filibuster, to delay it. It should be the point to force the issue in front of the American people and in front of those of the Senate. Put it out there so that there is truly an open discussion and so Americans see firsthand. And, you know, when Rand Paul was doing the filibuster and there were a variety of Tea Partiers who went out there to support the cause, plus give him a little bit of a break from talking, you know, Lindsey Graham and John McCain could have gone out there too and challenged him on the floor. If they weren't cowards, that's what they would have done. And, I mean, my question to Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, Senator McCain, when Rand Paul, you had 13 hours. I know Lindsey Graham. I assume both of these guys were at the Republican dinner. I know Lindsey Graham was. You could have either spoken before you went to the dinner with the White House occupier, or you could have spoken afterwards. You had time on both sides if you wanted to challenge what Rand Paul was saying. Why did you not have the courage to challenge him on the floor of the Senate? I think I know the answer, because you're cowards. You're liberal progressives and you're cowards. You don't want to admit that you don't believe in the Constitution. You don't want to talk about the Constitution because you know you don't follow it, you don't abide by it, you don't govern by it. So you play all these other games afterwards, and, you know, McCain, you of all people, with your military history, for you to go out there and think that, well, the administration would never do that. That would never happen. No, it wouldn't. You obviously haven't studied history very long, or you have forgotten what it is. It's unbelievable when I hear someone such as yourself, having been a POW and the story that you have told, the service you gave to your country, and now you trash it. I wish I could understand what is going on in your head. I really, really hope you don't run again. I would like for Lindsey Graham to not run again either, but he probably will. But I do see that both of you will be challenged. It's time to remove the establishment. And does that mean putting it into another party, which I don't know that the Libertarian Party would replace the Republican Party. I believe it may be a truly new party. A truly new party to replace the GOP. Just like the Republican Party replaced the Whig Party. And it was kind of interesting, you know, again, Glenn Beck was talking about how the Republican Party was formed, Republic, was going back to the Republic of what we were supposed to be, the smaller government. That's how it came up, Republican, and those kind of things. And yet we see what how the parties get so diluted. And it's all because people don't have principles. A party may start out with some general principles to follow and to adhere to when it first starts, but in no time at all, it's manipulated and used for personal public gain. So it's like, well, you know what, I live here and I'm in this district. If I want to get elected, I can't run as a Republican. I have to run as a Democrat. Even though I'm a fiscal conservative and believe in smaller government, if I run as a Republican, they won't vote for me. But if I run as a Democrat saying the same thing, with a few little quirks in there, then they'll vote for me. This is what happens in this process. It's nothing but a game. These people do not believe in any kind of ethics or integrity in the public office. It's all about money and power. And that's what we have to get rid of in Washington, D.C. And it can happen. And I'm just hoping last Wednesday was the beginning of something big. I hope Glenn Beck is right. It was the beginning of something big. And, of course, we were saying the same thing last Thursday night on the show. It's the beginning of something big. That people are now saying, wait a minute, we can actually be heard. Let's get a few of these Tea Partiers or constitutionalists, as I also like to say, those who genuinely believe in the Constitution and want to govern by the Constitution, let's get some of those in there and let's get them rallied up to do the filibuster. For every single bill out there, Obamacare, can you imagine what would have happened if we would have had a proper filibuster of Obamacare going through and dissecting what was in that bill? And to have had a group of senators filibustering various pieces of it and keeping it going. It could have been filibustered for days, who knows, because there's so much garbage in it. And people don't know about it. And little by little, people are finding out. And even the liberal progressives who were supporting it at the time, a.k.a. the Democrats, the ones who were voting for Obamacare, are now having second thoughts about how harmful it is to their people and how harmful it is because it's now laying off people. So here's what's going to happen. Thanks to this nutty thing of Obamacare, and it's already happening some, a person who is working full-time at a restaurant, for example, which doesn't pay a whole lot of money, not, you know, restaurant business is not what you call high revenues or high profit margin. This person who's working there as full-time may have worked there for 5 years. But now, because of Obamacare, they can no longer afford to provide health care for every single one of their employees. So now they have to put everybody back down to part-time. So the person who was working a full-time job with health care is now going to be working two part-time jobs without health care, and they'll have to pay it themselves. This is what Obamacare did. And when is the other side going to wake up and smell a coffee on that? I was encouraged hearing Paul Ryan talk. Yes, they are actively still fighting Obamacare. But his budget includes repealing Obamacare because little by little people are seeing more and more of what it does. And it's bad news. It is absolutely bad news. So there's still hope on that one, too. And, I mean, that's kind of like, well, if the GOP would actually do the job on Obamacare in the House, that may actually give some hope. That may actually help save their party, even though I don't know that it's going to be enough. I think it's too little, too late kind of thing. But at least it would be showing that some of the GOP members truly do believe in fiscal accountability, fiscal responsibility, and limited government to go out there and defund Obamacare. Which, speaking of Obamacare and Medicaid, Florida, we had our Senate, the Florida Senate, actually did block the expansion of Medicaid. So that was good. We actually did get one win here in the state of Florida. So I was happy. I saw that sometime today coming through the emails. The next amendment here, the Fifth Amendment provisions concerning prosecution. There's the Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh Amendment are all to do with right to a speedy trial, right to a trial by a jury, the Eighth Amendment, excessive bail and cruel punishment. These are things that drone program where it could just, NDAA and the drone program were just trashing these amendments, taking away any kind of rights of the rule of law, taking any kind of rights to a speedy trial, because you're going to be shot, you're not going to get a trial. We think you're a terrorist, for whatever reason, you're a terrorist, so you got to go, boom. And, I mean, that was all they had to do. And to that degree, I kind of wonder, because there's a clause in there about American combatants, And I'm kind of still a little bit concerned as to what it takes to qualify as a combatant and where they could still do something. So I don't really know too much about that piece. I feel like I can't speak to it enough. But the whole thing is everything to do with the rule of law. They're doing everything they can to take down the rule of law. Take down your rights to be innocent until proven guilty. Take down your rights to a speedy trial. Take down your rights to a jury trial. Take down your rights with excessive bail and cruel and unusual punishment. Being killed, I think, would be considered excessive. Yet at the same time, we're giving rights to bin Laden's brother. We're going to give that person the right to a trial in the U.S. instead of down at Gitmo. It's nuts. It is. If anybody thinks this administration is not anti-American and not pro, I don't know. I just don't see. It's so anti. The anti-Americans, and if true, genuine Americans who believe in this Constitution, believe in the rule of law, if we don't filibuster, demand that we be heard, demand to block legislation, demand we get back to being governed by the Constitution, then it's going to be a lot different. But you know, it just history does repeat itself. Do we have what it takes? Will we go the way of Rome, or will we go the way of the American Revolution? I talked about it a lot on Thursday, so I don't want to go into it to that extent today. But the Stand With Iran campaign that started out there, we really have to push other senators to do the same thing. When these bills come up that have gross violations of our constitutional rights, such as Obamacare, such as NDAA, such as the Patriot Act, would you get out there and stand out there and filibuster to make sure the public knows how their rights are being destroyed, how our Constitution is being shredded, and how that individual senator, prove to me that you believe in the Constitution. Prove to me you are willing to stand up and defend the Constitution, that you're not going to play stupid games like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, that you believe in the principles of what this country was founded on. If we can get a few more people like that, and you know what? On both sides of the aisle, this is what both sides of the aisle should want. Democrats, are you telling me you don't want the right to buy a 32-ounce soft drink? Now they're trying to take salt away? Again, this is some of the stuff that was covered on John Stossel's report last night. The New York is now trying to take away salt in a restaurant. It's nuts. It's nuts. I mean, if I had lots of money, which I don't, I mean, I would send, 50 cases or 100 cases of Pampers to Bloomberg and say, okay, here. Now, either then, who knows, maybe the other would be to send, 1,000 bottles of Coke to them, soda pop of some sort. So here you go. And just kind of put it in his face. But, I mean, and now he's talking earplugs. And you know what? From a public health perspective, there's nothing wrong with warning people. Don't be going around blasting music in your ears or anything, blasting anything, with the sound effects in the earbuds in your ears, because you're going to ruin your hearing. That's really not new technology, and that's not a new fact. But because of having these earbuds that are easy to wear and are comfortable, and people like to go jogging, listening to the music, and do whatever, I think it's good to tell people you need to be careful, keep it to whatever volume, so you don't destroy your hearing. Otherwise, you're going to lose your hearing at an earlier age than most. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But you know what? It's not Bloomberg's place to tell people what kind of earbuds they can wear or how loud they can play it. But he's also trying to outlaw those now. And let's get back to rights. Do we not have the right to pursue happiness? If that means drinking 2 liters of Coke or Pepsi or whatever kind of soft drink every day, you should have that right. It's not for Bloomberg to tell you not to do it. And the fact of the matter is, there's people who drink it and never gain any weight, and there's those that do. Gaining weight is not strictly a matter of drinking soft drinks. It's not. I've known plenty of people who guzzle it down, never gain an ounce. I guzzle it down like that. Trust me, I gain more than an ounce. So it's not a matter. It's not the same for everybody. And it's not Bloomberg's place to do that. But, you know, I guess the other part that I find so interesting is that the mentality of New Yorkers. In the past, you would have thought New Yorkers would have said, get out of my face. But New Yorkers are just a bunch of sheeple. They have truly become a bunch of sheeple. Who would have thought New Yorkers would cave in so much and let a mayor say, here, I'm going to tell you what's good for you. The nanny state to the max. I've always had this different image of New Yorkers, as the New Yorker who says, get out of my face, I'm going to do what I feel like, what I want to do. This is my town, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's kind of like, well, you know, with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Well, New Yorkers, get out of my face. But now you just see New Yorkers seem to just be a bunch of wimps. They're going to be told when they can eat, how many calories, what items can be on the menu, what size drink they can get. No, you can't use salt. And then they'll say certain salad dressings you can't use. I mean, where does it end? Where does the nuttiness end? And let's see here. Let's go down. And the Ninth Amendment, rule of construction of the Constitution. And then 10, which is the other biggie I really like to talk about. Rights of the states under the Constitution. This has been trashed so much. This has been trashed beyond belief. But you know, it was not the current White House officer who did it. This is something that has happened over the years by a bunch of self-serving, greedy politicians. No statesmen. We have very, very few American statesmen in public office. That's why we're in the mess we're in. The thing with the rights of the state, you can take transportation, education, health care. I mean, you can take just about any of these things. And states surrender their rights to the feds because they want money. Instead of being in control of your own economy, of your own state, being in control of your own education system, you go out there and you cry for money from the feds. And the same is true on the emergency funds. And you know, the thing with the superstorm, it's, you know, I'm waiting to see, and you know, Chris Christie was never the person to do this, I'm waiting to see a governor, mayor, whoever it is, when a disaster or a crisis happens to their community, a natural disaster happens in the community, instead of crying to the White House occupier and the Congress, instead of crying to them, to go out there and seek it directly from the American people, to seek it and say, we need your help. We're Americans, we're in this together. We know some of you can't afford it. We don't believe all taxpayers should be paying for this. So we're going to ask you to help us. If you can send $10, send whatever you can to help our community recover from this emergency. And, you know, that's what charity really is. Charity is when people donate it to you, not when you take it from them. And when they donate it to you without it being a tax write-off, because once again, you're taking it's truly a tax charity. It's not charity because you're taking it out of the tax revenues. So I believe, and I really do want to see, that whenever that next disaster happens, which we know there's going to be some other kind of natural disaster, whether it be the flooding of the plains or whatever, whatever may happen, a hurricane here in Florida, it would be nice to see that elected person, the governor of that state or the mayor of the city, to go out there and say, we need your help. We really don't want to go. In Washington, D.C., we've got our country is in a fiscal crisis. We all know that. So we don't want to go in and ask them for billions and billions of dollars. They don't have it. Can you help us? I truly believe the American people will rally to help that community. I think they will do a better job of getting the money to that community than what we see happen in Congress. Not to mention all the other games that Congress plays, sticking everything to do with anything but hurricane relief, as it was with the Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, when they went out seeking help. When they, when Chris Christie went out there seeking money from feds. It's government shouldn't do that. We, the people, should support each other. As Americans, when you see a crisis, you help. You do what you can. Sometimes you can't give money, but you can either donate things or help rebuild. There's something else you can do. Come together as a people. Come together as a united people and don't go running to the government to fix everything. I'm dying to see that happen. And I believe it could happen. But it goes back to this 10th Amendment, states' rights. Is it the federal government's job to provide emergency relief for the states? Where is the separation between what the federal government does and what the state does? Personally, I think the state should do some things for various types of emergencies. They could do some things. They should be like the National Guard, things like that, where you've got to mobilize a lot of people when you're trying to do an evacuation to help mobilize that effort, things like that. The state government should do it. But if we truly had insurance, we should change the way insurance works, make insurance more competitive across the board, have the Commerce Clause actually do what it's supposed to, and allow commerce across the borders of different states so we could actually have competitive insurance. And then more people could have it. More money would go into it. It all kind of ties in together. So there's other ways we can do it besides running and crying to the Fed. But states, it is so critical for states, for people to demand that their states stop giving up their rights, to not give up their rights to the federal government. It's that simple. State sovereignty. And that goes back to my favorite favorite creed, the American's creed, the sovereign states. And I will end the show with that in a few minutes here. Like I said, tonight I was debating as to whether I was going to have a two-hour show tonight because I had some other things, and tonight I am going to go ahead and wrap it up at 8 o'clock because I have some other things that I want to cover on Thursday. But the thing is, states' rights, we have got to force the states to get back to doing what they're supposed to. And it all comes down to public service. It comes down to being statesmen and women for the people. Excuse me. To truly do what you're supposed to do, to manage the people's business. The things when I talk about transportation, which John also talked about quite a bit, they talked about Amtrak. It's been a disaster, billions of dollars of waste. And here they keep wanting to put billions and billions of dollars in these stupid high-speed trains that don't go anywhere. And here in Florida, the people said, no, we didn't want it. And they said, we don't care. We're going to shove it down your throat. This is just to waste money for our friends. That's what John Micah said. We have to waste money for our friends. CSX is more important than this is going to bring jobs. Wait a minute. You bring government jobs. It's going to bring more waste. So why are you doing this? But when you talk about the state, this was a game between the state and the Fed. And I try to understand when it comes to, like, airports and ports, to have the FAA some type of national communication to coordinate transportation between states, I think you do need. But how much of that should be funded from the federal government versus the state, and how much does the state surrender its rights? With the case of the high-speed ScamRail here in Central Florida, okay, John Micah, Congressman Micah, played games with Rick Scott, told Rick Scott he wasn't going to make a decision on funding the Port of Miami until Rick Scott made a decision on ScamRail. He was blackmailing him. he was saying, I am not going to give you the money for that port unless you go along with my plan for this scam reel, because I have people at CSX who want my money, because he thinks it's his. It's our money. It's not his. So he played those games. Rick Scott caved in, and because he wanted his port of Miami, he wanted federal dollars from the funds from the Fed for the port of Miami. How do we manage the resources of the federal government for things that do go across state lines? The interstate highway system. The interstate highway system was a designed network across the country. They've played so many games, now they're selling it off to foreign entities, literally selling off public assets to foreign corporations, which is another anti-American thing, while they waste billions and billions of dollars on boondoggle trains. And the state plays a role in that. The state, it's if they're going to get so much money from the feds, what are they going to surrender? It's a terrible situation we have, and we have to do something about it. Well, on that note, I'm going to remind you again, and we will be having more shows talking about toll roads. The please call AAA and ask them why they have abandoned the members. They have abandoned their members, and it's 407-444-7000. That's the number to the national headquarters. AAA, why have you abandoned your members at the toll booth? Your mission is to help support, protect your members against unfair traffic laws, protect motorists against unfair traffic laws, and to provide better roads. That's what your mission statement is. Toll roads is not the answer. Toll roads takes away the rights and the access to the highway system. And actually, let me go back. One other thing I was talking about the high-speed rail, as John Stossel was covering, what are they saying now? Believe it or not, and this is where I said Charlie would be happy to hear this, but he's not on tonight, they are actually starting to move towards more buses again. The buses, because buses are less expensive and they're flexible. They can take different routes. It's not rocket science. So why did the likes of a John Micah want to shove high-speed rail down your throats? It's all because of their alliances with CSX and the other special interests. It's not because it's what's right for this country. So it's definitely not what's right. And here again is where AAA should be out there advocating for the motorist. Stop wasting our money on high-speed boondoggles, high-speed trains to nowhere. Put the money back to the highway infrastructure, interstate system. That's what AAA should be doing for its members, if it cared about its members. They've got over 50 million members. Go out there, if you are a member of AAA, log on to their website, go out to the letters to the editor. Now, I'm in the AAA Club South, as they call it, because I'm down here in Florida. And if you're able to get to that website, you can go into the letters to the editor, and you will see what I have put out there for I actually put my name out there, Stop I-95 Tolls, but I also put things about Texas tolls and I-4. I also put the fact that AAA does not share the facts with their members. The extreme cost of toll abuse. AAA is withholding that information from their members. Excuse me. And this is AAA is failing their members on their core reason for being there. This is what AAA was all formed about. This is what they started on. So why are they refusing to support their members? So please call AAA. Call your local office. Go to the internet, send the emails. Contact the national headquarters in Lake Mary, Florida. Anything you can to let them know you're watching and you realize they are not doing their job. Just tell them you're another AARP. You started out as something good to be an advocate for your members, and then you got in bed with the government and you said, the heck with the members. And you sold the members up the creek without a paddle, which is what AAA is doing to members. They should be helping members. Without the automobile, life is much different. Without mass transit buses, if you're going to mass transit, which we need, I have never said we don't need mass transit. With mass transit buses is the way to go. It's the least expensive, and it provides the best options. And we've talked about it numerous times on this show, and Charlie's bus hub system, as he came up with, there were two different things. We talked the bus hub system and then the express system, two pieces that could be privatized and put it, you know, the free market, people will pay. And, I mean, to me, the benefits of going out there and creating smaller shuttle buses and having more of them, one, it does create jobs. Two, it puts an opportunity for the private sector to get involved. And three, it's less messing up current traffic. It doesn't create as much gridlock with smaller buses that can maneuver in and out and that don't take so long to stop and make wide turns and all these other things that happen when you have these mega buses. So go out there and start downsizing. Yes, more buses on certain routes because they're always packed, but even then, you could have more small buses going up and down at different times and let the buses be there every 10 minutes versus every 20 or 30 minutes or whatever it is. And then in rural, more rural areas, small buses could really focus on areas where they ride. They could have a program for people to sign up. So you want a carpool in your area? Okay, you get enough people. This company will go out there and create a route for you, and then you would have these things where you could justify it. If you had, you know, 10 or 15 people from your neighborhood who would travel roughly the same times, then you could all carpool via the bus, the shuttle bus. So there's things that we could do to improve transportation and save money at the same time. And but there again, that's AAA. Where are you? AAA, why don't you help your members? Why aren't you out there promoting better transportation? Where are you? You've left your members hanging. I'm going to wrap it up with that, except I'm going to go ahead and read the American's Creed and think about this American's Creed while you think about what Rand Paul did with the filibuster. The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Being an American means you're willing to sacrifice. You are willing to sacrifice for the principles of freedom, equality, and justice and humanity. That's what being an American is about. And see, there's no dual nationality, being an American. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So we the people, the American people, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in limited government, who believe it's time to get back to what the founders created for us, we must come together. We must filibuster this government. You know, okay, Rand Paul, the senators, push those senators to go out there and filibuster every bill that is not abiding by the Constitution. Draw it out. Let people understand how many ways your rights are being taken away from you. How many times your country is being sold off to foreign entities. How many times with these boondoggle train systems, public-private partnerships, how many times the government is colluding with the private sector. The collusion of government and the private sector is not a good thing, not in a free society. If the private sector wants to fund a train, another Amtrak train or whatever it wants, go for it. They won't do it because there's no money in it. Private sector wants to buy the toll roads because they can make lots of money. While you and I paid to build it, they're going to go reap the rewards. It's not right. excuse me. So please, we must come together as a people. We must filibuster this government on all this crap that they're doing. We must get back to the Constitution. So when you see a bill being passed and you know how it violates the Constitution, provide that information directly. That if you have to explain it to your senator or representative, whether it be the state or the federal level, say, here's what the Constitution says. Here's what the state Constitution says. Do you think you can abide by that? That's what your sworn oath is. Why don't you get out there on that Senate floor and do a filibuster and make sure everybody knows you know the Constitution. Make sure everybody knows you are going to abide by the Constitution. You are going to govern by the Constitution, and you will not support bills that do not abide by the Constitution. If enough of you do that, it's going to, I want to say, mushroom. It'll go viral throughout the Senate. The likes of a Lindsey Graham will be squashed. The likes of a John McCain, they're going to be history. They will not be back in there. They will be silenced because they will be the real wackos. It won't be the constitutionalists who are the wackos. It will be the liberal progressives who are the wackos. And you know what? To be a liberal progressive, anti-constitution, you truly are the wacko of this country. You're the one who does not believe the American creed. And on that note, I am going to wrap it up for tonight. And we'll see what we talk about on Thursday. I don't have anything planned. We'll talk about some stuff. I may get into the filibuster again, a little bit more detail, and talk a little bit more detail about crime against Kansas and get into what's going to happen with this next election. Because, yeah, you know, 2016's a ways. We don't talk too much about the presidency yet, even though we see some people out there. But 2014 is right around the corner. And these people in the House of Representatives, they're already out there trying to see how they can get reelected. Really, their job is to get reelected. Their job is to run for office. It's not to do the people's business, it's to run for office. That's all they do. So, anyway, on that note, thank you for tuning in. And please, be united as Americans. Be Americans. Drop the dual nationality. If your loyalty is to another country, then go there. If you truly are loyal to whatever country it may be, go there. If your heart and soul is with America, then be an American and nothing but an American. And you know what? I really do hope the Constitutional Party will actually embrace being Americans, being united as Americans, and stop dividing the people. Stop dividing people into political parties. Stop dividing people into ethnic groups. It's time to be Americans. It is absolutely time to be Americans. So please keep that in mind. And on that note, may God bless and protect the United States of America. Good night.